FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 2/21/19. Well, the trade war between the U.S. and China looks like it might be showing signs of a cessation, perhaps even a preliminary agreement. Will it be saved until President Xi visits Trump, or Trump visits President Xi later on in the month? That is the question. Well, we did see a decline in the trade deficit last month between the U.S. and China, some 11.5%. Well, we'll see if that's going to continue or not. Hey, as always, be a part of the show. If there's something that grabs you, email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Great questions always get read on the show, and really great questions warrant an interview. So where is this agreement heading? Is there a possibility to head off the dreaded trade war? Where is that going to leave us? Well, the go-to person for that is our good friend Jeff Ferry of prosperousamerica.org. And Jeff, is this trade war coming to a anticlimactic end?
I think it's probably not, although there is a possibility. We're approaching the deadline of March 1st, and the president has got to decide what to do at that point. Now, the negotiations are going on hot and heavy between the U.S. and China, one level down from the chief executive level, and there's a lot of proposals. China certainly putting forward a bunch of proposals to try and resolve the situation and make the American administration think, you know, create the appearance of some compromises and solutions. And I'm very skeptical that these are genuine solutions.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was just in Las Vegas, Jeff, and I will tell you that in my opinion, the Chinese are colonizing Las Vegas. I mean, the biggest month this month since December of 2007 in terms of gambling revenues. And that is not a coincidence that the Chinese Lunar New Year, the year of the pig, brought in record numbers of Chinese gamblers. And then when we look at the decorations, this was bigger than the Super Bowl this year, the Chinese Lunar New Year. And these companies, the three major ones, looking at Venetian, looking at Wynn, and looking at MGM, are taking a large percentage of their profits. In Venetian's case, almost three quarters. In Wynn's, it looks like it's pretty substantial, perhaps over half. MGM comes in third. Operations are not as extensive. So we see this Chinese colonization taking place all over the world. Is there anything that can stop this trend?
Well, you know, on the one hand, I'm going to say to you that the Chinese economy is going to keep growing. You know, it's a middle level country. It was a poor country 20 years ago. Now it's a middle level country. They're the Communist Party. You've got to hand it to them. They're doing a good job. What I want to see change is I don't want to see them growing at the expense of the U.S. economy. We've had subnormal growth for a number of years. You know, I have nothing against our friends in Las Vegas. If they want to run casinos and the Chinese are creating millionaires at a fantastic rate and those millionaires want to come to Las Vegas and put their money on the gaming tables, that's their free choice. But what we need to do in this country is to stop a situation where we are importing $500 billion a year of Chinese goods and they're only buying $100 billion of American goods. That's what needs to be fixed, because that will lead our economy to start growing strongly again.
So are tariffs the answer, though? Do tariffs really work? Will they accomplish that goal?
Tariffs are part of the answer. I think 10% tariffs are not sufficient, and it's being entirely offset by a gain, in the dollar or a fall in the Chinese currency of around sort of 6 to 10% over the past year. So that's why the tariffs should go up. On March the 1st, they should go up to 25%, which is what the president said he would do several months ago. I think unless we get a really comprehensive solution, which is very unlikely, I think those tariffs should go up on half of the Chinese imports that we're talking about, the $250 billion. And on the other half, we should think about tariffs as well, because I think, you know, if we can make ourselves more independent of China and produce more of our own goods at home, it will stimulate the U.S. economy.
It seems like the rest of the world is not really understanding what's going on here. They're as much a victim of Chinese economic imperialism, if you will, or mercantilism, as the U.S. And yet they don't seem to be doing a lot about it. They're letting the U.S., as usual, take the lead.
Well, I think what you say is largely true, but there are signs that the other countries do recognize it. I'll give you two examples. One is after we put steel tariffs on the rest of the world, on the entire world, which was designed to keep the huge Chinese surplus from depressing and depriving our steel industry of its market. The other countries in the world said, oh, we don't approve of tariffs. But the next thing they did is they put tariffs on or restrictions. And I'm speaking of Canada and the European Union, both did this, restrictions against Chinese steel, because they said, well, we don't approve of tariffs, but on the other hand, we don't want our markets decimated by this huge uneconomic surplus of steel that China's producing. So, you know, they walk a little different than they talk on that score. And on the second score is there's been Germany. There's been a number of reports coming out of Germany where the Germans have said, we've looked at the Made in China 2025 plan, and if they go ahead with this, this will be devastating for German industry, because what China's trying to do is to build up positions in things like industrial automation sectors where Germany is the world leader. And of course, in the typical Chinese way, how do they want to do it? They want to block imports from foreign countries or reduce imports from foreign countries. And they want to, shall we say, borrow the IP technology and the intellectual property rights and knowledge that countries like Germany have. And we all know they're not going to pay anything like a fair amount for that. They're going to use forced technology transfer. So the Germans are very worried about that. And some of the best studies on this subject have come out of Germany.
So, but the U.S. is bugging Germany about their auto, and the EU, about auto tariffs charged on American cars. And so the U.S. and Germany might be otherwise be in it together, but they're having their own disputes.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, there are a number of disputes going on around the world. We think the global U.S. trade deficit of $600 billion needs to be fixed, and the auto industry is a part of that problem, and Germany's a part of that, a big part of that problem. I mean, Germany runs a huge trade surplus, which advantages its economy at the expense of partners like the U.S. and many European countries. So we all have an interest in getting more countries back to balance. Now, you know, or should we be trying to unite those countries in a sort of anti-China front? I mean, that's a point of view I've heard, and, you know, it could make sense. But, you know, what the Trump administration has chosen to do is to confront many different people. They've succeeded in getting Canada and Mexico to successfully conclude a USMCA agreement. So that's a step in the right direction. We don't think that agreement's perfect, but it's an improvement on what we had before. So, you know, it's a complex situation in the world today. But for the sake of the world economy and for the sake of national security, we need to move towards a smaller trade deficit and a healthier manufacturing sector.
Yeah, for sure. And we have seen a pretty substantial increase in manufacturing employment in the good old US of A. And that's largely attributable to Trump's policies, isn't it?
Yes, I think the Trump administration gets most of the credit for what we've seen in the last 12 months, a jump of 280,000 manufacturing employees. That's the largest increase in 20 years in manufacturing employment. And it goes right along with industrial production up some 2 or 3%. And what's stunning about those numbers is that sectors like machinery are up something like 4 or 5 or even 6%. And it's ironic because when we enacted the steel tariffs a year ago, people said, oh my God, this is really going to hurt sectors that consume steel. You look at the data and the opposite's happened. Machinery, foundries, all the industries that rely on steel are doing very well, even better than the steel industry itself in some cases when you measure production. So that tells you that tariffs have a positive impact on the economy. I mean, and, you know, there are other measures like deregulation that have contributed to economic growth in 2018. And I think we'll see economic growth well above 2% this year, 2019. So the economy is chugging along in the right direction. Well, there's still more to do on the trading front, though.
So I don't know if you caught this, but apparently Trump signed an executive order pretty much ordering all agencies for infrastructure projects to buy American. Did you happen to catch that?
I did see something about that. Yes, you're right. And we are very strong believers in Buy American for everybody, but legally as a requirement for public sector agencies and bodies. And there's too many exceptions to those rules. I mean, you know, there's famous cases like the Bay Bridge of California being built with Chinese steel and LaGuardia Airport. And, you know, these things need to be fixed. And I'm not an expert on that latest executive order. I hope that it's comprehensive enough to fix that.
I think it even kicks out Canada and Mexico, which could be a problem. Yes, I think the Oakland Bay Bridge debacle, if you're not familiar, the suspenders, the steel in the bridge came from China and it's deficient. The inspectors didn't do their job. But I think it was an act of economic warfare, economic sabotage. And you've seen it happen before. You know, it's the countries do this where, you know, sabotaging other countries' infrastructure projects. The U.S. has done it. And to see the Chinese do it and get away with it, and it has happened in multiple places. So another reason why we need a healthy steel industry. I'm not a big fan of tariffs, but I think when you can't get reciprocity through other means, the tariffs become the final option, really. I don't think it should be a first line of defense, but at some point, when you can't negotiate with somebody, and the U.S. has lots of unfair trade practices as well that I think need to be addressed too. But certainly of all the countries, the major countries in the world, the U.S. has the freest markets, freest trade of any country. And it worked for a long time. But at some point, you know, when you see all your factories fleeing, what's going to happen?
Right. Absolutely. We are one of the most, the most open large market in the world. And as a result, we've got a huge trade deficit. And you see other Anglo-Saxon countries who buy into the same free open market, free trading philosophy, run big trade deficits. And those countries that choose to run surpluses as a matter of policy, and Germany and China are the two leaders, have enjoyed economic growth benefiting from the American consumer. And that's a situation that needs to be fixed. And I agree with you that tariffs are not necessarily the best weapon or the most powerful weapon. I think the dollar exchange rate is a broader and more fundamental force. Our dollar is overvalued, we estimate by 27%. That makes it harder for all of our exporters, and it makes it easier for foreign imports to get into this country at competitive prices. So that's a problem to be addressed.
Yeah. You know, this open market thing is the exact analog of open borders. You know, just let anybody come in, do anything they want, everything will work out, because we want free movement of people and we want free movement of goods from any place, any point on the globe to any other point on the globe. And in theory, it's all great. But in reality, you have all these dislocations, all these dysfunctions and disruptions that happen in countries that allow it to occur. And I guess I can't say what's going to happen after President Trump, but I have a feeling that policy is going to be dramatically revised into the indefinite future.
Yeah, you could be right. I agree with you. I mean, the nation state, the democratically elected government is the only means we have to try and control these things and improve our standard of living. Now, there's 100 things wrong with the democratic government in Washington or any state capital, and we can all list
them. At least 100.
Right. But to just say we don't care about that and we're all one big happy world and just let anybody and any good move wherever it wants is lunacy. I mean, and, you know, perhaps the best example of that is that we've got pharmaceuticals made in China today. And the FDA has issued an order of a particular pharmaceutical saying this is contaminated by trace elements of some dangerous poisonous substance, you must clean it up. And the Chinese maker of those pharmaceuticals appears to be ignoring those orders for several years now. And, you know, there's very little we can do because it's not as if our FDA inspectors fly over to China and tour the facility. And you know, even if they did, they probably wouldn't be able to find the problem that they've identified when they do a test here in Washington. So, you know, it's just a different situation when you're regulating an American manufacturer with an American brand name and reputation who operates inside our borders as compared to an anonymous foreign company probably owned by somebody who, to go back to your point, he's probably spending his vacations in Las Vegas gambling away the millions he's made by selling adulterated pharmaceuticals.
Yeah, yeah, big problems there. It's going to take a long time to solve them, and perhaps a higher state of human consciousness. We won't get into that, but you know, just like there's rivalries between countries over trade, there's rivalries over states over trade and tax policies. I think that's just going to continue on, just the way it is. So, Jeff, when we're looking to find you on the web, We want to go over
right
to prosperousamerica.org.
Prosperousamerica.org. We're the Coalition for a Prosperous America. We're a coalition of manufacturers, labor unions, and agricultural groups. We're bipartisan, and we advocate for a better trade position to rebuild manufacturing and the family farmers' financial condition. And check us out, as you say, at prosperousamerica.org.
Hey, and how long have you been doing this for, Jeff?
I've personally been with the organization for 2 years. The organization's been going for 10 years. And I think we're bigger and more popular and more powerful than ever before, because finally the world's coming around to our point of view and recognizing that trade is a huge part of the economic problems facing America.
Hey, and talk about being in the right place at the right time. Here we get Trump in there, who's basically in large measure reading from your script, really aware of the issues that you've raised. Don't get me wrong, he's not a pawn, but he's reading the issues he's raised are the exact issues that you've been raising, that the organization's been raising for 10 years. So I think that's important to understand, that really your organization, maybe when it started out, was a backward-looking organization, but suddenly you become a visionary, forward-looking organization. And I think you're helping to make a difference. Local content rules, we'd never know anything about it, really, if it wasn't for the work that you did, Jeff.
Thank you very much, Kerry. We try our best. And but you're right that Donald Trump recognizes the problem of trade. He's recognized it for years. You know, I would say a lot of business people, I used to work in the technology industry, but I also have 2 degrees in economics. And what I'd say to you is that economists are blinded by their own algebraic models, whereas business people who act in the real world, they recognize, hey, if we're selling more product and hiring more Americans, we're succeeding. And if we're losing market share to foreign manufacturers, we're losing out. And well, that's the simple insight that lies behind a lot of our economics here at the CPA.
Yeah, well, if you look at academics, they don't have this magical thing that the rest of us in the economy face, and that's called competition. Once they get their tenure, they're there for life, and they can do no wrong. And as a result, their view of the economy in the real world is very jaundiced and very distorted. Anyways, Jeff, appreciate you coming on. Guys, just take a look at the website, financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for a free newsletter. One is going out this weekend. I promise I'm writing an article about common decency, common manners, common courtesy, and that why the decline of these important aspects of society have effectively led to our political impasse that you are now encountering in this country. So take a look at the site. Twitter feed's at Carrie Lutz. Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. You're listening on a podcast. You're watching, listening on YouTube. Then please subscribe, like, and share. Really helps the show a lot when you do it. Really helps me. Jeff, really appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, Carrie. See you soon.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.